J-Mock G, AirVenture in flight on EA Radio on the fly. And here we are in our last segment before showcase here at the bottom of the hour. And I'm sitting with Shane Albers. And Shane, I talked to you last year as well out here, and you are the co-chairman of the Harbor Master operation. And here as we round out the show, I just wanted to get some insight from you on the operational aspects of the seaplane base, because many of our listeners wouldn't know anything about the boat operation, so to speak. You know, a seaplane really is a flying boat, and there are some different rules and different types of things that go along with that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the operational organization?
Well, with the operational organization of the Oshkosh EAA Seaplane Base, we do have to follow some certain rules. First off, the flying boats or airplanes are technically airplanes until they hit the water. Once they're on the water, they have to abide by all boating regulations, just like a regular boat would. We have our point operations, who is Tom Leahy, and he communicates with his point controllers to us on the dock. And once it gets through the dock, we have our dock boss, who does a fantastic job at keeping everything organized, keeping a cool head on a swivel, making sure we have docks open and that we're able to cover everybody's needs. We use tow planes or tow boats that we hook up to our planes, which is about a 4-foot PVC tube, and there's rope strung through the center of those tubes. We hook those up to the cleats of the airplane, and then we're able to very carefully and under super control tow an airplane out to the mooring field where we hook it up by the bridle. Now, the bridle is a plastic PVC rope that goes around the propeller with a D-clip at the end, like a screw, a bolt-like sort of thing that goes onto the buoy. And from that point, it goes back to the dock boss, and we do what we need to do for our customers, for the pilots, to make them feel as comfortable as possible with us as we handle their aircraft.
Okay, and so what would happen? Somebody's flying their seaplane into the seaplane base. What's the first contact they make?
Well, the first contact that they're going to make is going to be with our point control. Our frequency is a 123.3 frequency, and from there, our point control will contact our dock boss as need be. So a lot of times pilots will call in 10, 15, 20 miles out and contact us, get coordinates, get elevations, get safety regulations. We've been running patterns lately, so they'll follow a pattern into the seaplane base as well. And after the point has complete control of what's going on out there, whether it be 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8 airplanes, he will then contact us once that airplane's on the water so that we can get that airplane to the first available dock for them.
Now, who decides where a particular type of airplane will moor up?
Okay, well, that all depends. When let's just say we have a flying boat that comes in. So I'm talking about a lake or a sea ray or like a C-Max of some kind. They're real low to the water, and we have a special dock for them. It's a U-shaped dock, and they're able to nose right up to it. And we have a volunteer on each side of the airplane to protect the wings and just hold the airplane in place. It's an awesome design. It works out perfect. Every pilot with a flying boat, like a CV lake, they absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Then we have our regular, you know, like your Cubs, your Cessnas, your Taylor crafts, all those type of airplanes. We have regular floating docks. It's just a straight dock with kind of like a plastic buoyancy underneath it, and then that holds our dock up, which makes it very seaplane friendly. It moves with the water. It's not rigid. And as we have three fueling docks. So if they need fuel, we'll take them on dock like 1, 2, or 3. And if they don't need fuel, then they can go to like dock number 5, which is just a long straight end dock.
Well, it sounds like it's very well organized. And tell us a little bit about, now you're the co-chairman of the Harbor Master. Tell us a little bit about how you got into that and how long you've been doing that.
Sure. Well, I have actually been coming to the seaplane base for around 14 or 15 years. I first got out here with my grandpa who is actually in charge of the transportation and everything. He does that part. And so I started as a gator driver. I was a luggage carrier. I would take the luggage out to the campgrounds. I'd help the pilots with whatever they needed, setting up tents, getting them any information they wanted. And so I just kind of slowly moved up. I moved into the boats, started doing more of the rescue boat operation, which is we have a 20-foot rescue boat, which is a very safe and sturdy boat that can handle 3-foot waves, no problems, no questions asked. So a couple years ago, I've been volunteering now for 12 years. This is my 12th year, and this is my third year as harbor master. Got a call a few years ago from Paul saying, "Hey, I want you part of this team." And I said, "I would absolutely love it." So that's how I am and where I am today.
Well, that's great, and you know, 12 years, Shane. You can't be. You've got to be what in your 20s.
23 years old.
Yeah, so you've been, since you were 10, 11 years old, you've been out here working at the seaplane base.
That's correct. And I would spend hours out here. I'd get out here at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I would be out here until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Where are you and your family from?
I'm down from Grafton, Wisconsin, which is just about 20 miles north of Milwaukee.
Now, there is a little something special out here at the seaplane base that people can partake in. If they come out to visit, not necessarily flying, but you have this little boat tour thing going on.
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you for bringing that up, actually. Out here at the seaplane base, first off, I would love to welcome anybody, absolutely anybody out to our seaplane base. This is everybody's seaplane base. It is one of the most fantastic places in the world. I absolutely love it. We have a harbor tour out here. It's a way for our visitors to go out and see a seaplane up and close. Over at the main field, you can see planes on wheels. Yeah, you know, you're walking around, it's hot. Well, out here, you get transported on a boat, and you're out there for 20 minutes. Awesome place to take pictures. You're sitting there relaxing. Our tour guides, or our boat drivers, are very knowledgeable about our airplanes out here, about the history of the sea base. And it's just a very neat experience. Absolutely cool.
Well, and that's important, too, because if people are coming to visit a venue they don't really know or understand seaplanes, it's really nice to have a tour guide that does know how to explain stuff to you as you're going.
That's exactly right, yep.
Around the tour. Now, what happens, as we get to the bottom of our show here, what happens if it is inclement and not safe for a seaplane to land out here on the lake? And taxi, and do you have any alternative methods of recovering these airplanes? Can they land here in the harbor at all?
Okay, well, yes, we do have a place that they can go. The one thing is we do not do lagoon takeoff or landing. It's a very, very dangerous procedure, and at all costs, we will do whatever we can not to do that. It's just not safe. And Lake Winnebago, as a lot of people know, it's a very, very shallow lake. It can go from very nice, smooth water, and it can just turn absolutely rough, 2-3 foot waves in a matter of minutes, 5-10 minutes max. So we do have a place. It's called Warbird Island. It's about 3 miles as the bird flies southeast of the sea base. And it's a protective cove. It's kind of moon-shaped, and we get a north wind here at the sea base, and that's what causes our really rough water. And this cove is protected by the wind. It actually faces north, so there is a huge spot from the land. We have mooring buoys down there with bridles on them so that our pilots can taxi up to it. And then that goes back to where the rescue boat comes in. We send this 20-foot rescue boat down to the island. That's about a 20-minute trip, a little bit longer if it's really rough out. The pilot of that boat gets extremely wet on the way down just because of the way the wind's blowing. They come back soaked head to toe. So we'll go down there, pick up our pilot, all their luggage from the airplane, and then we'll go to Wentz. They have a nice dock there, and they graciously let us use that dock to transport the pilot and all of their luggage over there. And then we have our transportation coordinator, Lon, go down there and pick up our pilots and luggage and guests.
Well, that sounds like a good plan. It's like I've seen out here all day and talking to you folks out here at the seaplane base. It sounds to me like everything is like a well-oiled machine out here. Everything just seems, everyone's got a smile on their face. Everything seems to work well. Everybody seems to get along really well. It's really a neat experience out here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you're at the Oshkosh Steamplane Base. You can't help but smile.
That's right. Well, Shane, thanks for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you on the radio, and thanks for sharing with our listeners some aspects of the operational side of the Oshkosh Seaplane Base.
No problem.
And, Jaymon G., we are at the bottom of our Air Venture in-flight on-the-fly segment today. It's just about 2:30, and things are really happening out here. And if you get a chance to get out to the seaplane base, there's bus service from the main Air Venture grounds from all kinds of different locations. Check your program. There'll be listings on the bus schedules and how to get over here to the seaplane base. It's relatively easy to do. Your armband gets you in. So head on over and check out what we've been talking about for the last hour and a half. It's really quite a treat. We have Showcase coming up here in just a moment. It's been a pleasure being with you this afternoon. Jaymon G., EA Radio, AM 1210, 100.7 FM, and on the web at airventure.org/radio.